It's Thursday, and we're recording a show. We had recorded on Tuesday, Adam, and I mean, I think you and I and Jeff would agree it was probably the best episode of Soccer Chat ever.
I was excited about it because I thought I wasn't going to have to do any editing because it was so good.
It was that good. I mean, epic rants. There was a comedy bit that had all three of us just in hysterics. It was the greatest show that we had ever done. And for whatever reason, the audio didn't save. I would like to say, reading from the email from them, hang on, let me find it here. The email does say, "Fortunately, this is an extremely rare occurrence and has nothing to do with you, how you have used the service. So, not my fault." Unfortunately, as we're re-recording this, senior correspondent Jeff, out of town, not able to make it. So we're going to have to just kind of do a quick show without Jeff here. What's that? Okay, we do have Jeff reporting, our senior correspondent, Wolfman Jeff, reporting live. Let's go to Jeff.
Brendan Ding!
Soccer Chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Welcome to episode 4 of Soccer Chat.
Season 3.
The greatest episode in the world tribute. This isn't the actual greatest episode, but this is about the greatest episode in the world that we recorded. So we have a game coming up Saturday, Adam. You know, the audio was unfortunately lost, and Jeff is out of town celebrating an anniversary with Wolf Lady Beth, and we just want to give them a congratulations.
Oh, yes. Congratulations. Congratulations. I how do you feel? What is that like?
But the game's coming up, so we wanted to give you a little bit of a preview as a lead-in to a fantastic interview that was saved with Coach Jimmy Obleda. So, Adam,
fortunately,
game coming up with North Texas. Tell us about North Texas. What do you know? What have you seen? What do you expect to see from them in this game?
Well, I think the biggest thing I expect is for them not to lose 4-0 like they did to Greenville, because that Greenville game, as you're well aware, was a bit of a fluke. I think they're going to be a streaky team all season, just like they were last year. And I think the biggest takeaway for us is they've got a lot of talent. They're going to continue to always have a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent within that academy system for Dallas, and I would expect for that to continue. So it's all about which team shows up, and I'm hoping it's the Greenville team, but that played against Greenville. But I mean, who knows? I mean, they've played two games. They've won one, they've lost one, and they were look like two completely different teams in those two games.
So it's interesting in the young League One season is that's kind of the case. So Fort Lauderdale has played four games, is towards the top of the table with 6 points right now, but they've played four games and they've won two and they've lost two. A couple of them looked really good and a couple of them looked not good at all. And then you come to North Texas. They had the win against Fort Lauderdale in their opener, and then they had this one against Greenville that, you know, by all accounts was a really miserable day that they had, giving up 4 goals and then giving up a couple red cards after that. So, you know, the red cards are going to, I think, be a factor. One of them was a Ryo, who is one of their key players in their midfield. So it's going to mean something that he's missing from their lineup. But you're right. They've got a lot of talent that is going to fill in those gaps and young guys that can come off the bench and really change a game, which is exactly what happened to us in North Texas last year. So we'll have to see what happens. I think considering in the two games they've played, they've surrendered 6 goals. I think we're going to see kind of a defensive setup. We're going to see them try to kind of go back to basics and really focus on trying to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, if you look at the table and you look at like who's played what, I mean, you've got most teams have played, you know, one or two games, but you got teams like Inter that's played four and Richmond that's played three. And you're right, they've been legitimately all over the place on what those games have done, who's done what. And this is what I kind of referenced during the mysterious disappearing show was we're going to have hopefully a situation where you're talking the top six out of 12 are going to make the playoffs. And assuming that, you know, it stays like this, it won't be where we're worried about like, okay, well, who's going to finish six out of these seven or, you know, the bottom seven teams or whatever it is, are they going to be fighting? I think it's going to be a fight all the way from second through eighth or ninth, just like right there in the middle. We're going to have a strong area. I wouldn't be surprised if Greenville does kind of run off with it. They've looked really strong in their two games so far, but it's early, so who knows? But yeah, I mean, as you look at the schedule, you think to yourself, this could go any way. And that's really what you want out of a Division III soccer league.
I agree. So moving into this game with the Chattanooga Red Wolves, what are you expecting to see from the Red Wolves on Saturday?
Well, I think Coach Obleda has done exactly what he described he was going to do when he talked about what you should expect from his style. He wants an attacking, he wants speed, and he expects to have, you know, to have a fast paced back and forth game. And he's built a team for that. Talking specifically about this upcoming game with North Texas, I think it's going to be, you know, a game where we see three or four goals total between the two teams. And ultimately I expect us to come out on top because I do think he's put together a strong squad. I worry a little bit when you talk about going away to Texas for this first game. I remember back to 2019 when we had our first game away at Texas and we went down 3-0 early and almost fought back and lost ultimately 3-2. Yeah, I don't expect that this time though. I'm expecting us to come out with a victory. I'm looking at this and thinking this is a 3-1, 3-1, 2-1 type game where I'm not really that worried is what I'm expecting.
So one of the things that I think people will notice, when I have conversations with Coach Jimmy, he doesn't completely feel like this team is 100% there. And a lot of it is a function of the fact that they've got a 28-game schedule this year as opposed to a 14-game schedule or 16-game schedule. So there's some guys that have, you know, little nicks and things like that that you may not see them play in this game because they're going to be not rushing them back, whereas last year they would have really been putting pressure to get those guys back on the field because they needed them because every game was so important. So, you know, don't be shocked if there's certain people like Walefi or even someone else who we don't know. You know, Coach Obleda loves to keep all that stuff close to his vest. He doesn't like to give out a ton of injury information publicly for the teams to know, oh, this guy's missing, this guy's got a bit of a bum quad. So you may see some of those people, you know, you may scratch your head a little bit about the lineup and just realize that maybe it's not a serious injury, but someone's got something that they're kind of nursing and they're not going to just throw them out there the first couple games of the season. And they'll have them ready as we get into the meat of the schedule later on.
Well, and I'm going to be honest, if that ends up being true, right, you look at the schedule, you've got you know, we're playing North Texas, obviously, on Saturday. Then we don't play again until the following Sunday versus New England, followed then by Inter Miami 2. We don't play the first independent team until, you know, are that home game versus Richmond, right? And so
yeah.
What I find, you know, interesting about that is, you know, at least to me, that is it gives us a chance to kind of build up, right? And then we don't even after that game, it's, you know, it's Tormenta, it's Tucson, it's North Carolina. We don't have our first game versus Greenville or Omaha, who I think most pundits, you know, most of the people, and when you say pundits, you're talking League One, there's not that many of them, but I think most people are expecting Greenville and Union to be two of the top teams. We don't play them till June, June and July, right? End of June, July. Yeah. So we've got time to build up for that. But at the same time, the other side of that, right? The other side of that is, do we lose games early that should be wins because we're not ready? And we're going to put ourselves in a hole. And that's the worry I have when you talk about that we're not quite there yet. Because we should win the North Texas game based off how they played versus Greenville. We should beat New England. Mm-hmm. We should beat Inter-Miami. We should be 3-0 going into Richmond. I don't know that we will be if we're not putting our full teams not ready.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the biggest thing also that makes Coach Obleda and conversations that you have with him feel more confident is this team is a lot deeper than the squad they had last year. So he's not as worried about, oh, you know, Rafa Mensigan tweaked a hamstring and he's going to be out. Well, he knows he can pull Jackson Dietrich off the bench and feel very comfortable that he's going to get out there and he's going to impress, or he can put Rowe up towards the wing while bringing in Jonathan Esparza or someone like that. I think Jonathan Esparza is a defender. I might be thinking of Josue Espana. In either case, he feels like he's got a lot more options. There's guys, he feels like his defense is better stocked so that he can take a guy like Ricky Ruiz or Jonathan Ricketts and he can move them forward in order to fill a hole. So that's going to make things, I think, a little bit better going forward. So while we're doing that, let's talk a little bit about what we think we're going to see on the field. We'll start at the front. Adam, what do you think that attacking three, we're assuming it's going to be an attacking three. What do you think that's going to look like?
So I think Rafa's going to be up there. I think he's going to play, if he's not a wing, then he would end up playing in the midfield, but I think he's going to play on the wing. I think you're going to see, I think Markey might be up there as well. And then of course, you know, there's a reason they brought in, and my mind just blanked on his name. Galindres is who I'm talking about. There's a reason they brought him in. And I think the expectation is he's going to be our main striking option. I think, you know, Balake will get in there occasionally.
I knew you were going to mess up his name. As soon as I saw it, I knew you were going to mess it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pronounce. Balake Frishnik. I mean, it's not the easiest name, but I'll get there eventually. but yeah, I don't expect him to start right away. Partly because he came in later in the preseason, but also I just think when you look at what our tower team is built, I think you're going to see those three up top most of the time.
Yeah, I agree with that three. I think Juan Galindra's nickname, Tunke,
which is awesome.
Fantastic nickname. Very excited about that. And I think he is going to be that target man with really speedy wingers of Rafa Mensigan and Markey Hernandez coming on either side. The two of them can play either side. They're going to flip-flop and create a lot of confusion. And Galindres has the speed. That's what I remember in the preseason match against Atlanta United, was being impressed with the fact that, you know, he was about as big as you, but as far as like height and all that,
not girth
necessarily, but he also had the speed. You know, he was a speedy player that was chasing down balls, that was putting pressure on a goalkeeper when a direct ball just kind of skipped over everyone, faster than we've really seen in the number nine position with the Red Wolves so far. And so I think that's going to be exciting. And Blake Frischneck, I think, is also could become that same sort of super sub that we saw in 2019 with Eamon Zaid, where he's going to come off the bench and he's going to really change up the game and go at tired legs. And you're going to be impressed with what he can do in the second half.
And that's one of the things
he'll be able to rotate in as well.
And that's one of the things I would say is that is great about him is that he is a different type of player. He is a possession, you know, old school possession style striker who's not going to necessarily blow by you like you're going to get out of Markey Hernandez, but there's not a lot that have that kind of speed that Hernandez and Ruiz and such have. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be able to possession. Like when you look at the highlights of him, he's the guy who takes a good first touch, puts it on his foot for a shot. It, within one or two touches, he's placed it where it needs to be. And that's going to be exciting to see, because, you know, I think We saw that with Eamon Zaid, right? Eamon Zaid showed how it can be done and how important a guy can come off the bench and really change a game by being a different type. And hopefully he does that for us this year.
Yes. All right. We're on like minute 17 of our 10-minute intro. So in the midfield, who are you expecting to see there?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we're going to see Rowe, Pineda. We're going to see Villalobos there. Unfortunately, I don't think Ami or Wally are actually going to be ready yet, is my understanding. So I think that's going to be your most patchwork area, is going to be the midfield to start off. And so that may be the most interesting area to see, because I think that has the most holes to fill. And I think it's possible, if he is trying to fill in those holes, you could even see Rafa be dropped down into the midfield to be a distributor if we really have that much of an injury issue in the middle.
Yeah, I think starting we're gonna have Villalobos and Rowe, and then Jose Carrera Garcia, who in a podcast I was listening to him be interviewed on, it was known as the Mexican Messi, which is another great nickname, one to keep in mind. But I think he's also going to be, I think you're going to have kind of that midfield triangle filling that attack. And the three of them in the match against Atlanta United, they did a really good job of filling those gaps, being able to kind of link up from the back up to the front to help create chances and follow through on that. So the back line, I think this is the one that's probably the least controversial. You're expecting the four of Ricketts and Ricky on the outside, and then
Daniel Navarro,
no, Jason Ramos
and Navarro,
and Daniel Navarro. You know, the two they were the two starters for pretty much all of the preseason games. So I wouldn't be shocked to see someone like Jorge Luna, has a lot of experience, could possibly get opportunities going forward through the season. But it seems like probably that starting four that's been there for the whole thing is going to be the ones you see. That brings me to our final spot, and I wanted to do it last because I think it may be the most controversial. Adam, who do you see winning the goalkeeper battle?
So I actually don't think Tim Trook wins it. I think it's going to end up being Mora Mora. We're going to see more and more of him this year than we will of Trook.
Ooh, that's bad.
So I'm inclined to agree. I think Sebastian Mora Mora, in, you know, we talked about in the game against Atlanta United too, he really made more saves, and that had a lot more to do with just the fact that in the second half Atlanta United was able to break through and put shots on goal when they didn't in the first half with Tim Trilk. So I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, the awesome patience and fantastic attitude that Tim Trilk has shown, if he gets the opportunity to start this first game and get his first start in League One. But it's going to be a week-to-week thing, I think, with these goalkeepers. Who's hotter? Who's doing the better job in practice? Who had a really good game on the weekend? You know, we got spoiled with Alex Mangles playing every minute of Red Wolves soccer that's ever existed. And I think that's about to change, and you're going to see some goalkeeper rotation this year.
Yeah. So I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, not a knock on any of the backups that we had, and Tim Trook was one of the backups, right? Yeah. The previous 2 years, but I think there was a lack of confidence in that second goalkeeper for both coaches. I mean, we had two different coaches, and both of them were like, Alex is our guy. Now, Alex is a very, very capable keeper, so that's part of it, right?
Right.
But the other side of it is, you know, did they feel comfortable going to Dietrich? Did they feel comfortable going to Trilk? I don't know that they did, which is partly why I think more and more might see more time, because, you know, this is not the first round for Tim Trilk, right? Like, the coach knows what he has and didn't really give him an opportunity last year. And there were times where it would have made sense to possibly throw him out there. But, at the same time, why do you walk away from Mangles when he's as strong as he is? So I don't know how much of it is Mangles or how much of it is a lack of confidence. I do want to say something I find interesting. I listened to a podcast that had Leo Fala on it. My mind is blanking on the name of it, but it's a podcast run by a teammate of his. In the interview, it's an hour and a half long podcast, but he talks about when Daniel Navarro was brought here and about the fact that Navarro was brought here while Leo was hurt in 2019, and Leo actually had to be rushed back to the field because Navarro had gotten that concussion. Right. So I find it interesting that this is the second go round of replacing Leo Fala for Daniel Navarro. So, and he's got some big shoes to fill, because Leo really really did a great job last year. And Fala talks about in that podcast that Coach Jimmy didn't really have a lot of confidence in him and he had to earn it. And he more than earned it, in my opinion. I think he was a really solid piece of that back line. Now, he may not have, you know, been the most flashy of defenders back there, but he was solid. And so how well Navarro fills that in is going to be a real telling sign to the strength of our team.
The fact that he was built like a centaur, I'm sure, was worked in his favor. And you're right, you know, solid, of course. Yeah, he definitely earned it. And I think you saw it by the fact that I think by about the third game of the season, it was Ramos and Fala, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, on through the rest of the season. So he definitely did, and it's a testament to the hard work that he put in. He was a guy that was always available to have a kind chat with the fans and had a good attitude while he was here. So, you know, we're so happy to see him move on up to Tulsa and hope that things are going well for him.
All right. So you want to set us up on this interview you've got, or?
So last thing, let's do predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction. Pain.
What do you think is going to happen?
I have this as a 3-1. I think we go out early. I think we score in the first 20 minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if we're up 2-0 at the break. So my expectation is this is a comfortable 3-1 victory.
So I'm going to say that I think this is going to be an uncomfortable victory. I think this is they're going to be focused on defending North Texas is. I think being our first game of the season, there's going to be a lot of possession. We're going to create a lot of opportunities, but the finishing touch is not going to be there. And someone like Jackson Dietrich or Blake Frischknecht is going to come off the bench and going to score somewhere around the 70th minute. And we're going to go out with a 1-0 victory, gutting it out the whole time in my hotel room in Nashville, where I'll be watching.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but either way, I hope we're both right.
I would prefer your result as well, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong, and I'm not sitting there upset at how hard it is, because I just had to experience Arsenal's 0-0 tie and kicking out of Europe, so I just don't need any more bad soccer this week.
So if you need advice on how to be angry at me for being right, I can send you my wife's phone number. You can text her later.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Also, we should just note our senior correspondent, Wolfman Jeff, has it as a 2-1 Red Wolves victory, although he's weird. He does weird English things. So he says it's a 1-2 Red Wolves victory. So we've got head coach Jimmy Obleda talking with me and Wolfman Jeff about what he expects to see, what we're going to do, and where I fall on the goalkeeper depth chart. All right, folks, we are here with head coach Jimmy Obleda, getting ready to head out to North Texas for the Red Wolves' first game of the season. Coach, what's the go-to road trip snack for you?
Cashew nuts. I love cashew nuts on the plane or almonds on the plane, but usually go first with cashew nuts.
Wow. You know, I used to be a minister at a church near the ballpark there in a place called Euless, and all my kids in the youth group had passes to Six Flags, so we would get that in the parking pass. And how this plays in is we used to use our Six Flag parking pass and park all the way at the end, and we were right across from the temple or from the ballpark in Arlington. And so I had great seats to see some great baseball. So my question for you is, which is your favorite baseball stadium that we play soccer in? It was a long setup. It was a very long setup.
Well, you know the best thing about playing soccer on a baseball stadium is they're made for baseball. That's about it. So The only thing I do give credit for North Texas is they have made that field look very nice. Yeah. The facility, I mean, just the way it actually looks like a soccer field, not like other places. I mean, it, the dimensions are right. I mean, it's a proper soccer, venue. So I would probably say, North Texas.
Okay.
So as we're looking ahead to that game, North Texas, of course, stung a little bit coming off a loss with Greenville. They've had a win and a loss in their season and a lot of goals. What are you expecting North Texas to bring? What kind of challenges are you guys preparing for this weekend?
Well, I think, you know, the challenges you prepare for is one, you know, just in, with us being our first game, you know, a first game where – you know, it's not going to be there. We want to get it as close to where we want it to be as possible. But, you know, you're coming into a first game of the season while they've already had, I think, two or three games. This would be their third, you know, and you play a team that's a bit wounded. That's, you know, has talent all over the field, all over the pitch and on the bench. So, you know, a team that's there at home and they want to come in and make right after last weekend's result for them.
Well, I know the week before when they had their first home match, it was against Fort Lauderdale, and we had a Jaquel had gotten a brace for yep. that match. And is outside of him, who else is on your radar for players that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Well, I think, you know, obviously he has two goals in, you know, he's doing well. Almaguer, I mean, again, we can go down the list, Welbeck, you know, as they build through the middle, those two become very, very important in what they do. And, so, you know, obviously the goal scorer who got off to a good start with the season and, you know, and the, those two specifically in the middle that we look at.
So this season is definitely more of a marathon as opposed yep. to last season that was a sprint. How does that change the way that you look at the upcoming season when you're looking at, you know, player management at lineup rotation, things like that? How is that going to change from last year?
Well, I think, you know, it changes with the reality that it is a marathon. You know, I mean, we won't have all our players physically eligible yet to play because some are still recovering from injuries or some have picked up some little nicks here and there in the preseason, and you can't rush them back. You can't. Not like last year where you had to have them back as soon as possible. And the depth of your team in such a short season was extremely important. So here the depth is as important, but you have a little bit longer time to, I don't want to say get it right, but you have a little bit longer time to make sure that, that you're giving the guys, you can look at your schedule and giving the guys maybe rests or giving them breaks here and there from time to time and not having to run the engines, you know, full throttle for 15 games. I mean, this is or 16 games. This is 28 games. So, you know, we have to be more calculated, more thoughtful and mindful of how we play players and you know, the rotation that we do with them.
Yeah, it does seem like you have a more of a robust roster this year, especially on the front end. I think we're going to cause a lot of havoc up to the front. Is there a position you feel that you have more options this year than you did last?
You know, I think I wouldn't say like one position more. I think one of the things we did in the offseason is bring specific players that we feel are going to help us be successful, but also players that can play numerous positions. So we have guys that can play centrally, out wide, can play in the middle, can play forward, can play in the back, play in the middle. So I wouldn't say we're we're deep in any spot, you know, any one area, or we're light. It just, again, for me, the number one thing is being able to have everyone eligible, everyone healthy to play. And that allows me, that makes my job kind of difficult, because when you have all 20 guys ready and healthy, then it's, you know, putting the right ones for the right opponent. But I wouldn't say, you know, one position is more than the other. And you know, the good thing about it is it's very competitive. So everyone's fighting for a starting spot. Everyone's fighting for minutes on the field, and everyone's fighting to show why they need to make the trip.
So all indications are a very positive, you know, spring training for you guys. And any conversation we've had with, you know, a player or yourself or Coach Sawchak, who among some of the newer players that have come to town, who do you think is going to kind of surprise and become a fan favorite?
I think there's a couple. I think if I look at, I mean, obviously the usual suspects from last year, you know, not to bring them back up, but I think the newer ones will be, you know, Juan Galindres, the forward. I think he's going to be someone that hopefully can get off to a good start and get a couple goals in and start building his confidence up. You know, and I think he'll be someone that the fans will truly like and appreciate. And then I think the other one will be Jimmy Villalobos. You know, that he's a young man who's very technical, you know, scores goals, very good, you know, with the ball at his feet. So those are two that I think will do well. And I mean, somebody that's not new in USL, but new to us and in USL League One will probably be Jose Carrera, Josecito. I mean, that kid is, we're expecting a lot from him, and he's going to be very exciting and dynamic to watch this year for the fans and for everyone watching us play.
So which of your players has that tactical mind that is kind of thinking about setting up players for other players? Setting up plays. So you're a playmaker. Okay.
I mean, we have a couple. It just depends. You know, we have a couple guys. That's one thing, that, you know, guys that have good vision and, you know, that are very good with the ball at their feet and can make quick decisions. But I think, you know, again, Jose Carrera and Villalobos are two players that see the game a certain way that fits us and are very good in connecting the lines and very good in playing those dangerous passes and very good in getting in the box and creating chances for teammates and for themselves.
Jeff, go ahead. I drew a blank on what I wanted to ask next.
Okay. Well, we had
things happen.
Yeah, we had a chance to interact a little bit this weekend. We had our jersey reveal and got a chance to see some of the fans. One of the things we were talking with you about was the importance of having that hunger. Do you want to elaborate a little bit about having players that have that hunger for the ball and the hunger to make something happen?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, we say this to the guys, it's you know, everyone in USL League One, because that's the level we're playing at, is good. You know, there's not, you can't say there's, you know, one soccer player better. I mean, there are some better than the other, but they're all good soccer players. They all do the same thing well. Some do it a little bit better, and some do it not as good as the top ones, right? But I think the one aspect that separates those teams that have good seasons or have good runs or are successful are the ones that have the extra hunger, the extra motivation, the extra will to do whatever it takes to win. You know, and that's, you know, getting down and for a tackle, if that's chasing a guy down, if that's running 40 yards to chase down a ball, you know, so those to me are intangibles, right? That you can't teach someone that, you know, and when those players were the players that we that we brought in and we really looked at, you know, that was something that was very important for us to bring those guys that were hungry to succeed and hungry to just really make a name for themselves and make a name for the team and make a name for the club. Because again, if you have guys that are willing to do that, win, lose or draw, you can never leave a game as players and as fans and as a coach saying, yeah, you know, we weren't, that wasn't us, you know what I mean? Or, you know, we lack something. You do that, we believe that you're going to have the most, you're going to have more success than failures when that's the extra that your team has an advantage over other ones. So the players we looked at, that was something that was very important for us to look at and that they had that. And it's something that we're instilling in them, but it's easy when they already have it in them.
Now, last year, we weren't able to have the jersey reveal publicly. So obviously COVID's still with us, but we've come a long way. So we were able to have the reveal. And so for the first time, some of the new players especially got a chance to have a safe, socially distant interaction with some of the fans. And even yep. some of the ones who came in last year didn't really get that chance either. So what did that mean for the players to see and interact with the people of Chattanooga for the first time?
Well, I mean, it's again, you said it's something we weren't able to do last year. And I think this group, for the people to really see what we're about and really see it, it's not just enough to see them on the field and see how they play. It's to really get an understanding of who they are as people and what, I don't know if what motivates them, but what kind of gets them moving forward. Right. So if you have a few minutes to talk to, let's say a Carrera or a Galindres or a Luna, you know, or in some of the returners that from last year that people weren't able to meet, you know, the fans and the people can see that they're invested. They want to represent Chattanooga. They want to represent the Red Wolves. They want to do well for everyone to be proud of them. And I think that's very important. So yeah, when you have that interaction, it's very different when you see someone on the sideline like myself than when you get a chance to talk to me. So when you get a chance to talk to me, maybe I'm not as crazy as I am on the sidelines. So you have a better understanding. So a better appreciation, right? So I think that's what it comes down to, just having a better appreciation of who that person is and how important it is for them to represent your team and represent this city.
So one of the constants for the Red Wolves basically has played every minute of the Red Wolves history was goalkeeper Alex Mangles, who has moved on, is no longer with the team this year. We have two very good young goalkeepers in Sebastian Mora-Mora and Tim Trilk. How has that battle gone in camp, and what have you seen from the two goalkeepers?
Well, I think both, you know, the first thing I would say is I couldn't be happier with both of them in their professionalism and how they've handled, you know, coming into camp and really just doing what's asked, right? I said to them, you know, we have to work, you have to become better, and we have to be ready to do a good job, right? And to keep a clean sheet or, you know, and so, you know, both have done a great job. The competition has been what it is. You know, they're both fighting for a starting spot. They're both fighting to see who starts this Saturday. And you know, it's been a healthy battle between the two. And Coach Joe has been Joe Nasco has been on top of them, and you know, in staff meetings, he's been giving us his thoughts on it. So it's been good. Again, I couldn't be happier with both of them because they've both been great. You know, very professional in everything they've done. They come in early. They push each other. They help each other, and that's sometimes not the case in those situations. So they both have been great with that.
So have they been okay with the fact that they're going to be behind me on the goalkeeper depth chart? Have you had that conversation with them yet?
I haven't. I'm waiting for you to show up to practice and assert my confirm my assertion of who you are as a goalkeeper. So I haven't had the heart to tell him that yet.
Yes, it would not take long for me showing up at practice to assert what I am as a goalkeeper. That's for sure.
No arguing here with me.
So we expect no surprises there. Okay, good enough. Good enough. So, so what'd you think of the new jerseys? Is everyone pretty excited about them? Or,
well, I mean, I would I be exaggerating saying they're the best jerseys in the league? I mean, I don't think I would. I mean, not because I coach for the Red Wolves, but I mean the class, the quality. I mean, it's a classy uniform. Right. No gimmicks, no sparkles, no flashy stuff on it. It's a professional jersey. Right. No fans coming across the front or whatever. It's a professional jersey. So I don't think I'm exaggerating when I think it's the classiest jersey out there in USL League One right now. I haven't seen it NCFC yet. So, and I haven't seen Toronto's, but I'm assuming it's the same one that the first team plays with. But I think our jerseys are, I mean, and the feedback that I've gotten from all over, from fans and from supporters and from friends and family, you know, validate my comment.
And how were those tacos from Bitter Alibi?
You know, I didn't get a chance to eat any because there's a few people that were ahead of me and they were hoarding them. So
sorry about that, man. But you knew what I was.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't have 15 on a plate, bro. Come on, man.
Actually, I proved that. Yes, you can.
So that brings me to an important question that we're actually going to lead this show with. Today, of course, being Tuesday, May the 4th, and tomorrow being Cinco de Mayo. Are you doing Taco Tuesday today? Are you doing Cinco de Mayo tacos tomorrow? Or are you doing tacos both days?
You know, that is a great question. And I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to do Cinco de Mayo because right now it's, you know, almost 6 and I'm going to actually work on my session, finish up for tomorrow, kind of get my mindset to, you know, if I go to Taco Tuesday, I can't, I'm too old to go 2 days in a row. So, and eat that stuff. So if anything, I'm going to go tomorrow, Cinco de Mayo, maybe there's a place right here around the corner and kill it. So yeah, I can't do 2 days in a row, you know? So, plus we got some work still to do, you know, the weekend's not here yet. And we still have, we have stuff to prepare for.
Tacos after.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Tacos only for winners.
Yep. That's what they say. That's what they say. So I want to make sure I get some tacos to, you know, for Saturday. But, again, we gotta still prepare. There's still stuff we have to get across, you know, we have to get across to the players and still stuff that we have to do before Saturday. So,
so before we finish up real quick, do you have any thoughts on the nascent Super League over in Europe?
the now defunct Super League, that one?
Yes.
Oof. That's a, you know, listen, I would love that. That's a conversation for a few hours, you know? I would say, the Super League doesn't need to look much farther than what has happened in US in the youth soccer game here in America, when the mega clubs, the youth clubs, created their own leagues and their own elitist environment where they couldn't leave. Look, I mean, again, that's a whole different conversation for us to have someday, but look what it's done to youth soccer in America right now. It's good that the people around the world continue to see how important it is for promotion, relegation, and people still earning where they are, earning every spot, earning every promotion, earning every relegation for that matter, earning every everything they get, because that's what the game's about. And so my belief in that was just, you know, money, greed, wanting to hoard everything and for their own self-interest, and it wasn't for the good of the game. So I'm very happy that it kind of ended out the way it did, because it gives me hope that there are still people that believe in the purity and of what the game is about.
Jeff, you got anything else?
No, I think I covered all the basics there. So it was really fun to see you, and look forward to seeing you at the home match when we get the season starter. Glad you get a couple of weeks to warm up. So when we see you guys, you're going to have all pistons firing. We'll be watching you guys on TV this Saturday. And I wish you guys the best at North Texas.
Thanks. Thank you so much. And again, I truly do. And I speak personally and I speak for the group that we always appreciate your help and your support and, you know, you guys having our backs and, you know, it's a long season and it starts this weekend, and get us one step at a time and hopefully get to that, that ultimate goal. So appreciate your support. And anytime you guys need to chat, I'm here for you guys.
All right. Thanks, coach.
No problem. Have a good one, guys.
I guess it's time to wrap it up now that we've played the interview. Quick Biggles Wade report. Biggles Wade were victorious over the weekend. They had an 8-3 victory, Biggles Wade United. That just seems wild to me. I bet that game was a whole lot of fun to watch. And it's too bad that it was behind closed doors. The Biggles Wade United ladies also victorious. Congrats to them. And then you were doing a little research yourself, Adam. Biggles Wade United has they've been doing a lot of restructuring of the lower divisions, and they've applied for a promotion.
Yeah, it's an interesting setup of that, in that they're created this new kind of fourth division. They're basing it off of, it's still sporting merit, so it's not where you just apply and they like, oh, we like this team, we like that team, because Biggles Wade United has a massive social media following, so they could be accused of it being picked out that way, but that's not how it is.
So they don't just promote people based on the fact that they like have a cow on the sideline or put their fans' names on their uniform as part of
weird.
The uniform design? Okay.
No, that's not how that works.
Like, based on how they do on the field, that seems like a really weird way to do promotion relegation.
Yeah.
Sorry,
right?
Go ahead.
So the other part of it, though, that is interesting is they're second in line. And the reason they apply is they have the team that's first in line says, no, we don't want to do it. They would then come in place. There's also certain requirements in order to be at certain levels, right? And so to be at certain steps, you have to have certain size stadium size, which includes not only the amount of fans that can be there, but how much seated space can be there. Chris Nunn talked about this when he was on the podcast in the past, right? So there's a lot that goes into it more than just sporting merit, because they do have, similar to the U.S., they have professional league standards that you must hit. And because of that, sometimes a team will turn it down because they don't want to put the investment in to the grounds or to other areas that are required in order to make that next step.
So we've got our fingers crossed. Hope that good things can happen for Biggles Wade United. They were a contender for promotion in the season before things were closed for the COVID lockdown. So, you know, your heart hurts for them that they weren't able to go out there and do it on the field. Yep. Maybe they'll get a chance here and hope that things go well. So shout out Gillum Belange, who is one of their chairmen and was on the FS1's Champions League post-game show yesterday after the Chelsea victory. That's your Biggles Wade report. So our 10-minute thing is now stretching into 30.
Sounds about right.
Feels pretty good for us.
Feels on point.
we're excited to get this season kicked off. If you guys are watching, reach out to @soccerchat on Twitter. Tell us what you think. Ask us what we think. You know, we hope you guys enjoy watching the game on ESPN Plus. Kickoff is at 8:30 Eastern. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. Yes.
8:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Let's go, Red Wolves. Bye. Bye.
The recording has started, Alex.
Okay.
We can disappoint people by seeing us as we do this. That'll be fun.
Sorry, we're not better looking.